This is Dave Glowatz. Welcome to another in my series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky, who writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and who's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on January 19th, 2012, and it's titled, State Tax Break for the Merck is More Laughable with Each Passing Day. This article talks about the mechanics of the recently passed set of tax breaks for the CME Group, which owns the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. You describe how you couldn't verify a claim made by head of the CME that the corporation paid 6% of the state's 2010 corporate income tax. First of all, just for our listeners' benefit, where has this claim shown up?
The claim showed up originally, as I understand it, in an interview that Terrence Duffy did, Terrence Duffy being the head of the CME, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, did with Bloomberg News. I saw the source cited in a Tribune article. That claim sort of became the bedrock of the argument that the Merck was paying too much in taxes. Since that was sort of the starting point of the argument, I wanted to examine the validity of the starting point. What I discovered is that there is no independent verification whatsoever, so that we're investing, this is the core of the whole issue, we're investing by this tax break millions of dollars into the options industry at the very time that it is pursuing a policy that they consider in their best interest of cutting back jobs. So you have to ask the public, of course this question never is asked, what do we get out of this? Why is this worthwhile as a public endeavor to invest so much money into this industry? And there really is no good answer to that. Pretty much the decision was made because CME has a lot of clout and they wanted it.
I want to get back to that. What does the public get for that question in a minute? But I know the answer to this question. I'm wondering if you do. Do you know what the total figure was for 2010 of the corporate income tax?
I did know that because I went to the same site you did. Let's see if I can remember it. $1 billion and change?
Yeah. $1.36 billion. Yeah.
I looked at that and then I calculated 6% of that and then I tried to determine whether they paid that.
Well, you did say that you looked at their Securities and Exchange Commission statement. They identified a figure of $148.9 million of state income tax paid.
Yeah.
And granted, they also have operations in New York. But if you take just that, that's 11% of the 2010 state corporate income tax. Just to play with the numbers, they also claim that some portion of that was deferred. And so if you take that part amount, it comes to $72.8 million, which is 5.5%.
Again, and there's that New York factor.
So we really don't know.
We don't know. We have absolutely no idea. And then, of course, I have to add this point that several activists told me, so what if they did pay 6%? Then it gets to the issue of, well, maybe they should be paying that much. Someone's got to pay 6%. When I think about it, I realize that stopped people in their track. Yeah, one group is paying 6% of the income tax. Well, maybe they make 6% of the money. I mean,
the logical answer is, so what?
So what? I mean, you're gazillionaires. I mean, shouldn't you be the guys who pay the money? But of course, I can't even say the so what because I don't know how much they paid to begin with. I don't know if it was 6%. Maybe everybody else is paying less. Maybe we should be raising the income tax rate. Oh, wait, didn't we do that? Yes. That's what started us. Governor Quinn, in an effort to sort of progressively increase taxes so that we have more money to pay for a dead broke state government, raised the corporate income tax on the assumption that the corporations could afford it. There was such an outcry that effectively he cut the tax rate for many key industries, including the options trading industry. So I don't know where we are now. Are we bringing in less money in corporate income taxes than before, which means that ordinary people have to pay more? In a sense, the state is even more chaotic and confused with the way it runs things than the city of Chicago is, a claim I never thought I would be making.
This is like quantum physics. Once you look, the answer changes.
Yeah.
You know? The actual number that's bandied about here, that the General Assembly lowered CME Group's income tax, is $125 million for 2 years. You and I talked about this question, like, what exactly do we get for that? The idea of trying to do the math, that is calculating actually what CME's presence as a corporate entity in Illinois contributes economically to the state. Did you attempt that at all?
Yeah. Again, that was not substantially addressed at all. So if you take a look at total jobs, that same SEC document for 2010 says that CME employs, I'm going to say conservatively, 2,700 people. If I'm off a little bit, I apologize to all our CME listeners. That's not a lot of employees. Again, everything I've been reading about the trading industry, in CME in particular, is that they're moving away from employees. They're doing more electronic trading. So it's not trading that goes on in a central location, which requires employees to facilitate the trades. It's people making trades on their computers. in terms of jobs, which is generally how these investments are measured, there's very little impact. And not just literally jobs that the trading firms themselves employ, but the ripple effect. There's always that talk about, if you invest in a company that moves to your city, the people who work in that company will, you know, go to the barbershop next door, eat in a restaurant, buy food from the convenience store.
They spend money.
They spend money. There's a ripple effect. Well, if we're investing in a company that's reducing its payroll, reducing its workforce, there's even less of a ripple effect. So as I view it, the most valuable thing that the options dealers bring to the state of Illinois, the city of Chicago, are the tax dollars. Well, we just threw that away. So God, when I looked at it, I said, this was a really bad decision by the state of Illinois. They were not looking out for the fiduciary self-interests of their constituents. In fact, they were looking out for the fiduciary self-interests of the options industry.
But isn't there a dollar benefit per job retained? Let's just say, for sake of argument, that $2,700 was a static amount, that they actually kept $2,700. If you just use that number, is there an amount of tax reduction that one could justify based on that number of jobs retained? You know, if they said they moved to Indiana.
Now the Indiana argument, which is utterly absurd to begin with. First, if they want to move their corporate office, as we just saw with Aon, moving your corporate office to a new location to reduce your tax liability is something that they could probably do anyway. And then they would argue that they're not based in Illinois. They're based in Timbuktu or wherever they moved to, so they shouldn't have to pay Illinois taxes.
But is there a number that one could come to that says this amount of tax break justifies keeping 2,700 jobs?
That argument was not made. So you have to say, well, what is that number? And then you have to figure out how many jobs per tax dollars are we losing? We don't even know, Dave, we don't even know how many tax dollars we're losing. We don't know how much tax they paid. So we don't know how much tax they're going to be paying. So we really, these are all gross estimates. The whole formula, I don't want to get too complicated here, too tangential, but all this tax estimate is based on a formula, like a cap that the state of Illinois agreed to put on the amount of income that they can tax from CME and the other trading. So it's virtually impossible to answer your question. We don't know how much they were paying in taxes. We don't know how much they will be paying in taxes. So we don't know what the per job cost of that is. It's always a slippery slope when we go down there anyway. This goes back to TIF stories that I've done where those direct subsidies made to a company and the company promises, generally when they get TIF dollars, they promise, we are going to maintain a workforce of X number, like 100, let's say. So then you could figure out, okay, well, we're giving you $6 million or, you know, $5 million, what have you. You're employing 100 people. That's X amount of tax dollars per job. That's just sort of a basic way of determining whether it's worthwhile. I'm starting to think that that's not a very helpful number either, but it's just the most easy way. It's the easiest thing you have. In the case, again, in the case of CME, we can't do that because we don't know the exact amount of dollars at stake. And that's part of the problem, is that we made a decision without having all the information.
Decided to just give them the money.
They asked for it. And so we gave it to them. And in order to get the law through, this is utterly absurd, to get that bill through, that giveaway through, we had to give a lot of other people stuff.
And we're probably not done.
So we are an insane group of people in the state of Illinois. Like I said, at least with the TIF deal, the city of Chicago still has $15 million TIF subsidy that they have on the table. They were trying to give this money to CME, and CME doesn't want to take it. At least with that TIF deal, there was an obligation on CME's part to keep a certain number of people employed in the city of Chicago. This tax giveaway has no stipulation. There's no obligation that CME has. They could move tomorrow. If they find it's in their best interest, they will move tomorrow.
Well, I think I'd like to leave it on the note of you defending tax increment financing. Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave.
If you want to hear more of my interviews with Ben, go to MrRadio.org, where you can find out how to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Ben Jarofsky or for me, Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.